You and Sigourney and Peter are prisoners of a warlord who entertains himself by inviting you to play a war game with him. You play the game with the warlord in hopes of finding some way of escaping during a game. You, the pilot, sit here on the shore controlling a sub, while your crew member, inside the sub, drives around the bay, avoids mines scattered just under the surface, and looks for one special mine that has been sent to the bottom of the bay. If you and your crew find this special deep mine before the warlord finds this deep mine, you will win. Today, your one-person crew, who will actually be inside the sub, will be a robot. Later, if you become more skilled, you will be allowed to send either of your friends, Sigourney or Peter, as a crew member. But there are, of course, dangers for a human aboard the sub. Because you care for your friends, you don't want to take chances with them until you are a skilled pilot. Also, for today's exercise, the warlord's sub will not bother you, not this time. Hit the enter key now. The small video monitor on your control panel will show you a picture of your crew, who happens to be the robot this time. Anytime your crew speaks to you during the game, you will see their face on the video monitor. You will then see your sub moving out into the bay. And the game has begun. I will start by describing the meters in front of you, which give you information about your sub and crew. Let's start with the battery power meter in the bottom right corner of the control panel. The meter is a long, thin tube with a bubble in it that now indicates that your sub has about two-thirds of the battery power that it can hold. The battery is used to drive your sub forward or backwards. In the bottom left corner is a similar meter that measures the amount of air in your sub. The bubble in the air meter tube is now at the far right, indicating that the air tank is full. If the sub were to dive beneath the surface, as we shall do in a short while, the air would begin to run out. You would then have to return to the surface, where the air tank would automatically refill itself. Above the air meter is a speed meter that tells you how fast your sub is moving forward or backwards. Right now, the needle on the speed meter indicates that your sub is not moving at all. The fastest that your sub can move is 45 knots. At that speed, the needle would be lying right down on its side. At that speed, you would consume a huge amount of your battery's power. In the top left-hand corner, you will find the sonar scope that looks like a half circle on top of a vertical rectangular box. This sonar scope will display any objects that are in front of your sub, and it will also tell you how far that object is from the surface. Right now, for example, the scope shows that there is a mine shown as a blinking square symbol in front of your sub. It also shows that the mine is 21 fathoms below the surface. Other types of objects that the sonar scope might show you are rocks, the warlord sub, etc. In the top middle of the screen is the electronic chart of the bay, which displays the coastline, peninsulas, etc. The blinking dot on the chart shows where your sub is located. To the south and west of your position is a power marker that looks like a circle with a cross inside. That marker is where you must go to replenish your battery's power. It will move around the bay as the game progresses. To the right of the chart is a compass that tells you the direction in which your sub is heading. The compass now shows that your sub is facing to the east, or 90 degrees. Finally, on the right side of the control panel is the depth meter, which I shall describe later in detail when we dive below the surface. For now, simply notice that the top of the depth meter shows that your sub, shown as a white diamond shape, is sitting at the surface at a depth of 1 fathom, and the bottom of the bay is 51 fathoms from the surface. We will now try using some of the controls that move the sub. Once you begin to move the sub, you must follow my instructions very carefully. If you don't keep up with me, you will be sailing around the bay on your own. Find the left-right arrow keys. On some computers, the left-right arrows are found on the number pad. Press either of those keys now while watching the compass. You will see that you can change the heading of your sub. You will also notice on the sonar scope, on the top left-hand side of the screen, that the blinking mind symbol moves when you turn the sub. Experiment with the left-right arrows to see their effect on the compass and on the display of the sonar scope. Now, press the key T, which tells your sub to turn around to face in the opposite direction. While watching the compass, press the key E now. You will notice that the sub will spin to face the east. The final way to give your sub a new direction is to give a special number command. To type numbers, use the upper number keys, not the keypad keys, on the right. Type H220 now, using the upper number keys. You will see these letters and numbers, H220, printed on the back of the pilot's chair. If you make a mistake, hitting the delete key once will erase the entire command. If you have typed correctly, you will see H220 on the back of the pilot's chair. Press enter now to enter this command. The command will disappear from the back of the chair. This command has told the sub to head in the direction of 220 degrees. Notice on the chart that moving to 220 degrees points our sub directly toward the power marker, the circle with the cross in it. Now you will tell the sub to start moving forward at a speed of 3 knots. Press the delete key once to make certain that the number command on the back of the chair is clear, and then type F3, then enter. The needle on the speed meter should move to the right a bit to show that you are moving forward slowly. As the sub starts to move through the water, the depth meter on the right side of your control panel will show the bottom of the bay changing depth. On your sonar scope in the upper left-hand corner of your panel, you will see echoes of land since we are passing very close to the shore. The land shows up as clusters of small dim shapes. The sonar scope also indicates a mine in front of you and below you. A mine shows up as a blinking square. Since your sub is now at a depth of only 1 fathom, any mines you might see will be too deep to be of concern. Notice on the chart that your sub, the blinking dot, is slowly approaching the power marker. Soon, you should be able to see the actual power marker showing up on the sonar scope, since it will be directly in front of your sub. It will look like a cross or a large white plus sign. When you see the symbol of the power marker, stop your sub immediately by pressing K. K instantly kills any speed. Notice that the needle on the speed meter shows that you have stopped. In order to get the benefit of the power marker, you will take your sub right up to the marker. If the sonar scope does not show the marker directly in front of your sub, that is, the middle of your sonar scope dial, you should use the left and right arrow keys on the keypad to point your sub right at the marker. Your sub is pointing directly at the marker when the marker is in the middle of the sonar scope. Use the left-right arrow keys now to point your sub at the marker on the sonar scope. When the sub is pointed at the marker, give it some forward speed by typing F5 and enter. When the sub touches the power marker, you will notice that your battery power meter shows more electricity. A report will also scroll in from your crew telling you that you have hit the marker. As soon as a message scrolls out along the bottom of your screen telling you that your sub has refueled, you should kill any forward speed by pressing K. At this time, your sub should be refueled and stopped. Turn your sub in an easterly direction by typing E. The compass will spin as your sub moves to face the east. We will now prepare to dive below the surface so that we can get down to the depth of the mines. The mines are all at a depth of around 25 fathoms. All the mines except for the deep one, that is. We must first take a look at the depth meter on the right of the control panel. At the top of the tube, the white diamond shape represents your sub's depth of 1 fathom. The bottom of the tube shows that the bottom of the bay is currently many fathoms below the surface. The needle on the left of the tube indicates that your sub is perfectly level in the water. You will now tell the sub to point down to the depth of 25 fathoms. Type D25, and if the command looks correct on the back of the chair, press enter. Notice that the needle on the depth meter shows the submarine is pointing downward. But also notice that the diamond shape shows that the sub is not yet actually getting deeper in the water. The sub will not descend into the water until it is moving forward. It will not just drop down through the water, it must be driven down into the water by its propellers. You may or may not be able to see a mine ahead of you on the sonar scope, but I know for a fact that it's out there not too far away. It's at 21 fathoms, and we're going to dive down closer to it so we can fire one of our harpoons at it. We have to be within 10 fathoms of a mine, above or below, to have our harpoon hit the mine. We will move the sub more slowly than usual now, since this is a test run and pretty much of a tricky maneuver. What we're trying to do is to get down close to the depth of the mine without getting so close to it that it stuns us before we can harpoon it. Follow these instructions closely. Type F2 and then enter now to send your sub forward and down. This is a very slow speed. You will notice on the depth meter on the right side of the screen that the diamond-shaped sub indicator is beginning to drop. When your sub's depth gets to 12 fathoms, press K immediately to kill the forward motion. Since your sub is now within 10 fathoms of the mine on your sonar scope, you will be within range to hit it with a harpoon, and also within range to be stunned by the mine. You will now learn the final and most important lesson aboard your sub. We will fire a harpoon at the mine. Firing a harpoon at the mine will do 2 things for you. It will deactivate the mine for a short while so that it will not be dangerous to your sub, and it will release a huge warning area around that mine. You will see the warning area on the chart when you harpoon a mine. Before I explain the reason for this warning area, we should harpoon the mine. Place the fingers of your left hand on the Z, X, and C keys. Hit the Z key several times, and you will see the harpoon cannon on the sonar scope turn to the left. Hit the C key several times, and the cannon will turn to the right. When the cannon is pointing directly at a mine, hit X to fire the harpoon. You will see the harpoon travel from your sub toward the mine. You may shoot more than once if your aim was too far off. If the harpoon hits a mine, several things will happen. A huge warning area will show up around the mine on your chart. You will hear a continuous beeping sound telling you that you are consuming a lot of power to keep that warning area up. The warning is for the warlord sub, who will try quickly and desperately to get out of the warning area before you decide to ignite that warning area. Press I, which will ignite the warning area. The beeping sound will stop, and the warning area on your chart will ignite bright white for an instant, and then it will disappear. Your sub has just poured a lot of energy into that area. You may actually have just stunned the warlord sub if it was inside the area you just ignited. Now press the spacebar once. This pauses the game. You will see the word pause on the bottom of your chart of the bay. We paused here so we can discuss what we just did without having to worry about our air supply, which you can see is getting low. Why did we ignite this area? We harpooned a mine to ignite the area as a way of locating the deep mine that we are looking for. Since the deep mine was in the area we just ignited, you were told of its presence by your crew, who heard its echo. Notice also that there is now an outline of the area on your overhead chart. By finding several of these overlapping circles that contain the deep mine, you will pinpoint it. Notice that the square symbol for a mine on the sonar scope has changed to a square with a line through it. This symbol now indicates a mine whose charge has been used up. This mine will start recharging and could become active again at any time. You should now drive your sub to the surface to refresh your air tank. Press the spacebar now to start the game again. Type D1 and enter now to point your sub to a depth of 1 fathom. Now type F20 and enter to move quickly to the surface. When your sub gets to a depth of 1 fathom, as you can tell from the depth meter on the right, press K to kill your speed. The air tank will refill itself automatically at a depth of 1 fathom. Your sub should now be stopped on the surface. Find the 5 lighted indicators along the underside of your chart. They tell you that your sub is carrying its own supply of 5 onboard mines that behave just like regular mines. You would use one of these onboard mines if you were beginning to zero in on the deep mine and wanted to check out a few more small areas. Press M to activate one of your onboard mines. There are now only 4 indicators lit. You will see a small warning area around your boat on the chart, and you will hear the continuous beeping that you heard before when you put up a warning area by hitting a mine with a harpoon. Press I to ignite that area now. If the deep mine is within that ignited area, you will again be told by your crew, and you will see the outline of that small area drawn on your chart of the bay. In fact, this time, the deep mine was not within that area. Anytime you feel that your chart is becoming too cluttered with old or useless information, you can use the U button to update the chart. Press U now. If you had exactly located the deep mine with several large overlapping circles, and perhaps with a small circle from your onboard mines too, you would be ready to go to the bottom to find that deep mine and win the game. The easiest way to get your sub to the bottom when you know where the deep mine is to position your sub not quite exactly over the mine so you don't land right on top of it, and then blow the sub's ballast tanks to make your sub heavier than water. Don't do it now, but you would push uppercase V or shift V, which stands for venting the ballast tanks. Your sub would begin to drop. You would see nothing for many fathoms. Then hopefully, as your sonar scope came into range of the deep mine that you hope will be there, you would see the mine on the scope. Hit the mine with a harpoon and you have won the game. You could then take a human crew out the next time. If the warlord sub harpoons the deep mine before you, he has won the game. Finally, I will teach you how to concede a game to save the life of your crew. Imagine this situation. Your sub is many fathoms below the surface. Your crew is a human. Your sub is nearly out of air. Your crew will die unless you get air. You drive toward the surface to get air, but your batteries are low, and so you might get stuck underwater. It's time to concede. You will do it now to practice this vital lesson, even though today you are not really in danger. While watching the battery meter, press the key R. You will see the battery level jump, and an R will appear above the meter telling you that you have been given your reserve power. You will get no more reserve power during this game. Use this reserve electricity to drive yourself to the surface, where in fact your sub already is now, and then head for the shore. In other words, type W to head your sub to the west where the shore is closest now. Then type F20 and then enter to move your sub forward toward the shore. When you are within sonar range of the shore, you will begin to see many shore echoes on the sonar scope. When you hit the shore, you will automatically concede the game. You could also dive down to hit the bottom as a way of conceding the game. Any rock that you hit, any part of the shore that you hit, will concede the game and save your crew. This maneuver might be the only way to save a human crew. If a crew member dies from lack of air aboard your sub, you will obviously never hear the end of their story. You will never hear their ideas about escape from the bay, and incidentally, their memory will be erased permanently from your diskette. Don't play a game with humans if these stakes seem too high. That's what robots are for.